you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, March 27th, 2020. Reading from John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Pastor Jason, I share that with our listeners today because yesterday Chuck Swindoll was talking about Jesus and the many things that he said and taught and conveyed to his disciples and to the masses. But he said the number one thing, I guess, recorded throughout the Bible that Jesus may have spoke was telling people not to be afraid or not to be fearful. And I thought during these times, those would be good words for us to take to heart, that he's in control and not to fear. And so without you knowing what I was going to do next, I'm going to play about a 4-minute song by Carmen and Kim Boyce titled Fear Not My Child. And maybe that'll give you a moment or two to look at John 14:27, these words of Jesus, and help us think through, should we be afraid during this time, or can we have peace under these duress circumstances? So here's Carmen and Kim Boyce, Fear Not My Child.
In myself, I fear the Lord, then was afraid to try once more. That fire in my soul had fled. That's when Jesus came and said,
my spirit gives the strength you need to raise you up and to succeed. And for vision in the night, to you I'll give these words of life.
Fear not.
That was Carmen and Kim Boyce singing Fear Not My Child. And Jason, I love these lyrics, the chorus that says, Fear not my child, I am with you always. I feel every pain and every tear I see. Fear not my child, I'm with you always. I know how to care for what belongs to me. And during this time of uncertainty, of fear, of not knowing whether we're going to have a job or can keep our job, it's a time many of us are filled with fear. But Jesus says, fear not. He is with us, and he'll be with us always.
Yeah, what a promise, right? And you know, that it's great where you began, but I want to go all the way back to the beginning in verse 1 of chapter 14. And Jesus begins, he actually reiterates this, says it again in the verse that you read. He said, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. But he begins chapter 14 in verse 1 by saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And so there's something that's happening. Now, in context, Jesus has just told the disciples that he's going to need to leave. He's going to leave. Part of God's plan and purposes and part of his promises is that Jesus was going to leave. And this is hard for the disciples because they spent a lot of time with Jesus. I mean, they believe in Jesus. They're following Jesus. They've put all their eggs in one basket, and that basket is Jesus. And now Jesus says, the plans and the purposes of God are now going to be that I leave. And they're going, wait a second. This isn't what we signed up for.
Yeah.
We signed up for a long ministry. We signed up to be with you and to watch this movement grow and to watch this church grow and to watch you do all the things that you said you're going to do. I mean, we want to be doing miracles with you, you know, in 50 years. Come on. And Jesus says, no, I need to leave. That's the plan and the purposes of God. And so their hearts are troubled. And it's interesting, right, because Jesus can tell that they're troubled. I have to think that there was something physically happening with them that he could tell. He could see it in their eyes. He could see it in their kind of their body language. You know, when somebody's troubled, they kind of retreat back a little bit in their body language. You can tell when they're pensive and when they're upset or frustrated. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Now, the heart, in a biblical sense, is the center seat of your belief. It's the center seat of how you connect and are connected to God. And so that's why Jesus says, right away out of that, believe in God. Now, when we say believe in God, I know a lot of people where you say, you believe in God? Oh, yeah. And then you actually open up God's Word and you start talking to him about the things that are inside of God's Word. It reminds me of a story. I was helping out a church a number of years ago, and they were looking to hire a pastor. They were a Presbyterian church, and they were looking to hire a pastor. And I came in, I filled the pulpit on a Sunday morning, and big guy came up to me and he said, hey, I'm one of the elders here at the church. We've got five candidates. If you could ask those candidates one question, what would you ask them? And I said, well, ask them if they believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that there is no other way to God except through him. And the guy called me. That was on a Sunday morning. The guy called me on Monday afternoon and he said, we don't have any more candidates.
Wow.
I said, wait, what do you mean you don't have any more candidates? He said, well, none of them could subscribe to that. They believe that Jesus is one of the ways to God, but that there are a multitude of ways that people come to God. And it made me think that I bet you that every single one of those candidates, if you said, do you believe in God? They would say yes. But when we say, do you believe in God? We mean, do you believe in the fullness of all that God said, all that God is, and all that God is doing? Belief in God is not simply, yeah, I believe him. It's, I believe in everything, even the difficult and the hard things. You know, there are things in the Bible that if you've actually read the Bible, you should stop and pause and go, I don't know about that. That's really a hard thing that I'm reading. Even Jesus said this to his disciples. I think a lot of people, and if I make a statement like that, they say to me, well, that's not me. I said, wow, man, you're better than the disciples. Because the disciples, Jesus even looked and the Bible says it was hard teaching. They didn't understand how they could wrap their minds around it. When Jesus teaches on the soils, he has to go into the house and explain it in very plain language to the disciples because they don't get it. There are things that Jesus says and things that Jesus does and things that God's Word says and does that are very difficult. And yet we need to believe in the totality of all that God has done and all that God is doing. You know why? Because the next verse says, believe also in me. You cannot believe in only some of the Bible and then believe that it all applies to Jesus because all of the Bible is all about Jesus. You know, we're going to come up here on Palm Sunday in roughly a week and a half or so. And on Palm Sunday, we always read that scripture in the three Gospels that have to do with the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And one of the things that I've been meditating upon recently is that we always preach those scriptures, just that scripture, because the triumphant entry is only Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And yet the problem with that is that the entire Old Testament is the triumphant entry of God sending Christ into the world to reconcile all things to himself. And so sometimes we read things in a very small way when we need to look at it in a big, full way, because we need to believe in all that God is doing and all that God has done. I mean, what does it do for your belief in God when you start to think about that God has been working your salvation? The listener right now, you listening, your salvation was so important to God Almighty that from Genesis 3:15 all the way until the cross, he was thinking about that. He was thinking about salvation to all who would believe. I mean, and then you think about how many years and how many people and how many moments encapsulate all of the Old Testament. It's quite overwhelming if you really think about it.
Ian, I'm thinking, you mentioned when you first said, do you believe, what's that passage where even the demons believe? Just having an understanding that Jesus is God or Jesus is God's son. Hey, even the demons believe that. But do we follow? Do we surrender? Do we submit? Do we obey?
Yeah, and I think that in this time right now, where we're facing a very unique thing. And see, I say it's unique. I had this conversation with somebody earlier yesterday morning. You know, they called me and they said, it's just this whole situation feels so unsettling. And I said, yeah. I said, I'm right there with you. I said, you know what? When 9/11 happened, I could look at pictures of towers that had fallen and go, okay, that's why I feel the way I feel. When the space shuttle blew up when I was in fifth grade and they brought the TVs into the lunchroom, I could look at the pictures and the video and the pictures of the space shuttle exploding and going, okay, I feel this way because of that. This thing that's making us feel the way we feel, there's nothing that we can see. It's so small we can't even wrap our heads around where it is, and they don't even know how we did it and how long it lives on this surface, or, you know, is it transmitted by this or by that, and should we wear a mask or wear gloves, or what should we do? You know, this thing that we are encountering, there's nothing for us to kind of hang our feelings upon. And it would be wrong for us to do that anyway. The Bible here says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me also. We need to fix our eyes upon Jesus, because we don't understand, or we can't even kind of figure out all the other stuff. He's the only one we need to. And what's interesting is that we can't do it on our own. See, Jesus says to his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me also. But almost right away, Thomas says in verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Basically, Thomas says the same thing we all are saying right now. Thomas says, I don't understand. I don't get it. Help me. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would know the Father also. Again, Jesus makes a connection between himself and the Father. And he says, and now you do know him and you have seen him through Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. Philip then says, Lord, show us the Father.
I didn't quite get it yet. Yeah.
So right away, Philip goes, I still don't get it, but just show it to me. And then that's when Jesus says this. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus says, you don't have the power to comprehend what is going to help you in this situation. You don't. That's why I have to give you the Spirit. Left to your own devices, you're Thomas. I don't know the way. You're Philip. Lord, just show me. And Jesus says, I can't show you, but what I can do is give you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. By the way, isn't it interesting that he says the Spirit of truth after he has declared to them that he is the way, the truth, and the life? And why is he called the Spirit of Truth? Because he will lead them to all truth. He will lead them back to Jesus. Now, some people might say, well, I mean, really? Is that what those passages are saying? Actually, Jesus clarifies it later for us because he wants to be sure that we understand completely. He says here, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, verse 26, whom the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, leads us back to the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit helps us to course correct and to put our gaze back upon Jesus, to see Him and Him only. Why? Because if we don't see Him, we start to see all the other things, and it feels so incredibly overwhelming, friends, doesn't it? So overwhelming. So overwhelming. And what happens the minute that it becomes overwhelming? Our hearts become troubled, and we become fearful. I mean, that's just honest. We have to be honest about that. We don't need in this time Christians who are going, well, my heart isn't troubled, and I'm not fearful at all. Well, then, are you alive?
Jeez.
Because if you have a pulse and you care about people, then your heart is troubled. You know, I just took a phone call yesterday. I was with a number of pastors. And on that phone call, one of the pastors in our cluster, he's up north more, he shared that his daughter is the head of an infectious disease unit with the United States Army at Walter Reed Medical Center. He said that a day ago, his daughter was exposed to the coronavirus. I watched this brother's face as he told this. If your heart is not troubled in that moment, then I don't know if you're alive. If you love people, these things will trouble the brokenness of the world, the fallenness of the world, the way that the world is not as it should be, should bother your heart. It should bother your heart. And in that moment, I believe that the Holy Spirit leads you back triumphantly to Christ and His victory on the cross, to where you look upon Christ and you go, okay, you're the one who told me to fear not because you've overcome the world. You're the only one who can say that. You're the only one who's proven that. You're the only one. And that's why it's so important that the Spirit of Truth leads you back to the way, the truth, and the life, because He's the only one who has overcome the world. He's the only one who can emphatically make that kind of a statement and back it up with His action. Isn't it so interesting that we're going through this time as we prepare our hearts to enter into Easter? One of the things that I've been meditating upon, and I'm not saying this in an authoritative way, this is me and my personal meditation, is that as we get closer to this and we watch what's happening on the news and we see what, you know, what our elected officials are saying, and we see all the things that are going on and hear the stories of people and all that stuff, it's so easy to become troubled. And I wonder if all this is happening at this specific time because God says, I want you to prepare your hearts to look into that tomb and declare that it is empty. I want you to look into that tomb without fear of contradiction and say, it is empty. Like the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed upon, and I believe that He can deliver me from all things eternally and from the coronavirus. And I just keep thinking, Lord, is that what You're doing? Is that why this is happening now? Is that why we're preparing for Palm Sunday in a way that we've never had to prepare for it before? Because we're to be reminded of the victorious and triumphant entry of Christ, that the tomb is empty, that You have all things taken care of, that You know all things, that we're not like little children thumbing around in the dark wondering how it's going to go. But instead, we just need to rest in You and in You alone. And in that, I mean, you know, everybody's sheltered in their house. There's no excuse why you can't seek the Lord these days. You know, I mean, I talked to somebody the other day, and they said to me, they go, yeah, you know, I mean, finally, it seems like I have enough time to read my Bible. I'm like, you have more than enough time to read your Bible. You're not doing anything else. You know, and in the same way, how many things have we realized didn't matter like they once did? You know, I'll just be transparent because I think transparency is so important. You know, every week as I would do all the things that need to be done for the week in terms of being a pastor, my schedule that needs to be done and the messages that need to be done and this thing, these videos need to be done and this thing, you know, my whole agenda, all the things that I have planned that need to be done and all these things, you know, kind of ticking off the list and making sure everything that needs to get done gets done. And in this time right now, there's a lot of things to do. But what I've learned is that what matters most is the people, because that's the one thing that I don't have right now. Being able to see all these people and gather them together around a table and wrestle what the Bible means and and see them as they worship on Sunday morning, and being able to laugh with them and being able to cry with them. And we still can do that in some ways, you know, through phone calls, and we do it through video chats. But my prayer right now is that out of this, the saints of God would miss being together. They would just miss the fellowship, the one anothering. And as we long for and miss that, my prayer is that the rest of the world would go, wow, maybe they had it right.
Hmm. Reading from John chapter 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And then jumping to verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Words from the Lord that I believe are for all of us. And wouldn't it be neat, Jason, and I've been praying for this, and I know there's been some people on Facebook sending this out, but, oh, Lord, wouldn't it be neat, because of your people, the followers of Jesus throughout the world, that this Easter, somehow that coronavirus is taken care of, it's stopped, it's prevented, it doesn't spread anymore, and people say, wow, this is a miraculous thing, and it just happens to happen on Easter Sunday or something. I don't know. That would just be so cool of God if it would all be over that very day, but we could certainly pray for it, and certainly God mm-hmm. uses tragedy and heartache to refine us, to cause us to lean into Him, to trust in Him. But let's just continue to pray. And like you said, care for others. Care for those that are shut in, the elderly, those that are sick, those that are going without, and see how God would use us for those divine appointments. All right. Well, I think reading chapter 14 of John today would be a great assignment for all of us. It's so packed with great truths. So let's be comforted by God's very words through the Lord Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.